Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Afternoons with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, final hour. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, nice to have you with us here today on the 15th of January. That was Mike Vrabel talking with Tom E. Curran. And I like that quote. He did mix his metaphors up a little bit at the end there, but I like the quote prior. As he talks about blaming me, you know, I'm the guy. I'm going to be in charge here. If you want to blame somebody, you can throw the blame on me. That's quite a bit different from some of the casting of blame that you saw from Gerard Mayo, although I don't remember him saying, talking about accountability. I feel like everybody, Mayo, everybody, when they become a new head coach, talks about accountability and says that they'll be accountable, they'll hold the team accountable and the players accountable and everybody else. And that's basically what Vrabel was saying there.
Yeah.
But I believed him, you know, like I hear that and I believe it. Like he's ready to stand up there and be the guy. And if it doesn't go right, then you can blame him. Now, on the other hand, I do remember Bill Belichick saying that after the very, very smart, intelligent hire of Matt Patricia to be the offensive coordinator. He says, listen, if it doesn't work, you can just blame me for it. I'll accept the blame, which he never did. I don't know. I mean,
you're right.
It's easy to say that here on January 15th.
But you're right in that Vrabel says it more believably, definitively, even almost interjecting into a question to just blame me. Say, you know, or the expectations. I can guarantee you nobody's got higher expectations than I do.
Right.
That mentality. Whereas I may be misremembering this, as Roger Clemens famously said, but Gerard Mayo got to the point where he was saying, blame me. I'm the head coach. It's my, like, I feel like it didn't have that tone early on because they were so fixated and fascinated with collaboration and
right.
Bringing everybody's in the same boat and we're all going to row in the same direction. No. Mike Vrabel's, what'd you call him? Who's the person that sits at the front of the boat and tells you what to do?
The coxswain.
The coxswain.
Yes.
Was coxswain?
I mean, that's how it's spelled, but it's pronounced coxswain.
Okay. Yeah. The coxswain, he's the guy that's telling
Mike
everybody.
Mike Vrabel's the coxswain?
Yeah, he tells everybody where
he'd
to row.
He'd flip the boat over if he was the coxswain.
It's a metaphor. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's not a literal. but he's the one telling everybody where to row, right? Mm-hmm. And they all have to be rowing his way, or he has flat out said he's got no use for you.
Right.
In the last couple days, in various interviews, he's flat out said, if you're not, you know, whatever cliche, pulling the rope in the same direction, doing everything, respect-driven, treat the organization well and we'll treat you well. If you're not doing that, he's done with you. You're out.
Yeah.
And I am interested in that. Now, you poo-pooed me. You don't think there's going to be a hatchet job done to the roster the way I do. I think there will be some hatcheting going on.
I think there's going to be some cuts made for sure. I just don't know that the scale that you're talking about, I just don't think is realistic.
50%.
50%. That's a lot. So I mean, it's 26 guys.
27 guys.
You know, and you get seven in the draft or maybe, you know, let's say eight or nine in the draft.
Boom.
And then you sign 17 guys.
Three undrafted rookies, so that's 10.
Okay.
And then 10 free agents.
10 free agents? I mean, that's a lot of free agents.
And I'm still not to 26.
Yeah, and you still got six more spots to fill. That I know what you're saying, and I do think that they'd have to make big changes here to the roster. It's just when you're this bereft of talent and you have to make so many changes and improve in so many places, one offseason, you can't do it. I mean, you can't replace 26 guys in one offseason.
That was the story of Mike Vrabel's free agent class in 2001. They were the Kmart Blue Light Special free agent class. That's what they were known as. Most people don't know what that is anymore because Kmart doesn't exist. Blue Light
right.
Specials don't exist. But
the last Kmart was down the Cape, right? Wasn't that like one of the last ones in the country?
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was one down near that, you know, when you come down over the bridge and there's that big intersection, there used to be a Kmart there. But I think it's either long gone or it was the last one or something like that. Anyway,
I believe his class had like 17 guys in it, free agent class, because Belichick needed to turn the roster over from 2000 again into 2001 and start building forward. And there were a lot of lower level guys, cast offs, you know, Roman Pfeiffer, Antoine Smith, all these guys. I think they need to do something similar to that. And it's not going to fast track it. And I think that's why he's lowering the expectations to play tough, take advantage of mistakes, get better as the season goes on, play like some of it, which is Gerard Mayo wanted to do but could never accomplish. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I think they need – their culture's not good. And I don't just mean off-field culture. I mean accountability, work ethic, you know, talent is part of culture.
Sure.
I think it's hard to have good culture without good talent.
Yeah, it's hard to have good culture when you suck, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's part of it too. But also, it wasn't just so much that they sucked. And I think this is part of what swept Gerard Mayo right out the door, is that their culture by the end of the season was attacking the fans.
Yeah.
Like, that was in the locker room. We're defending our coach, but we're going to attack the fans. Dietrich Wise and Jelani Tavai and these guys are telling the fans to know their role and that they're spoiled and, like, all these other things. Like, when your culture, and I understand wanting to defend your coach. I don't think that's in and of itself a bad cultural thing, you know? Like, if you want to defend your coach, you all rally around your coach. Like, that's a good thing for culture, right, generally. But when it crosses over into telling the fans off and telling the fans you don't know what you're talking about and know your role and shut your mouth and everything else, that's not a culture that you can have anywhere. I mean, that's in pro sports. You can't have that culture on any kind of team.
Well, there's a reason you rarely hear that. I mean, I think it generally goes the other way, where every team pretends they have the best fans and the best crowd.
Right.
You just tell them what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Gave me an idea for odds and ends, Stiz. We could use that old, remember the Cubs manager when they only played day games, who ripped the fans, losers who should get jobs. The only reason they can come to our day games is because they don't have jobs.
Who was that?
One of the great rants in the history of rants, not just baseball, any sport. That there's a reason you remember him, because there's not too many rants that rip the fans, and I believe he was fired shortly thereafter.
Probably, yeah. I sort of remember this, but
it's one of the great rants in the history of sports. Now, it's very, there's, you gotta have a lot of beeps ready. You gotta get the safe for work version, safe for radio version.
Yeah.
FCC version.
Bleep those bleeping fans who came out and say they're Cubs fans, but they're supposed to, okay.
It's one of the greatest rants in the history of the world. Can I make a request?
If you go like really go for it and MF the
go
fans,
all in,
then it can be like funny.
Right.
Then it's like when Bill Burr went on stage in Philly and started ripping all the Philly teams and calling all the people in the stands a bunch of whatever he called them. Like, if you do it and you
commit
do it right,
the bit.
If you commit to it, people respect that, you know? Like, that's not what happened here.
No, that is not what happened here. And the worst part of it, I still go back to the Tavai thing, is then he kind of tried to do an apology, but didn't really apologize and kind of doubled down on his comments from earlier. We all say dumb things, or we say things we believe in that are dumb to say openly. And then when your boss or your wife or somebody advises you to, hey, how about we clean this up and fix this? He didn't even do that. He didn't even take that opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, Jelani Tavai is a good player. He's a good player. Is it fair to say he's a good player?
Yeah.
Okay. Good player. But is he a guy you'd say, I don't know that we can come back from that. I don't know that he sticks around.
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So
he's not so good that you can tell off the fans and be okay. Yeah,
so
no, he's not
that
one of those
type
guys.
Of guy is gone,
yeah,
they have a chance to get to my 50%, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that.
Now, I did.
But not all of those 26 were MFing the fans either. I mean, like,
oh, no,
that'd
some
be
of them just stink.
That'd be a reason to move on from Tavai.
DeMontre Jacobs, Ben Brown, Verdarian Lowe. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of guys I can get rid of just because they're not good enough, right? So, like,
sure.
When you marry those up, now you're approaching double digits and then, you know, maybe the 50% thing. The thing I wanted to bring up is the comment yesterday that Mike Vrabel said, or 2 days ago, that Mike Vrabel said to Tom Curran about Elliot Wolf not having the some limitations that prevented him from investing fully in personnel.
Right. Yeah.
Do we want to re-rack that, or we just want to run the response to it?
Do we have that? Do we have that clip?
I can get it. Give me a second.
Okay.
I got the response.
Go ahead, Stiz. We do have the response, and Curran talked about it on early edition last night,
which and Curran did the interview, which I thought was interesting, because I told you.
It was that stand-up interview they had, right? Yeah, okay.
I thought it was the most interesting piece of audio that came out of that day. And I also had no idea what it meant. Literally no idea what it meant.
Right.
And come to find out, when we'll get to this, I think Curran and I were in a similar mindset there.
Okay. I can find the quote if we don't have the sound of it.
No, I got it.
Stiz has it. All right. Let's hear it, Stiz.
How comfortable are you that this group is going to be headed by Elliot to identify good players?
Yeah, very. You know, and I think that, you know, having talked to Elliot, I think that, and getting to know him through the interview process and then, you know, some over the weekend, you know, there were some things that maybe didn't allow him to completely invest in personnel. And I'm not going to be able to watch every player. I'm not going to be able to watch as
many. All right, thanks. That's all we need, Sis. So I also found interesting there, Mike Vrabel speaks relatively quickly. Like when he is on point, mm-hmm. he says it quickly, aggressively, definitively. You can't possibly have higher expectations
right.
than me.
He's from Ohio, but he's not like a Midwestern pause for the comma type of guy.
Did you notice there was longer pauses between every word?
Definitely.
I don't know if he was like...
He was speaking carefully.
Did I already say something I shouldn't have, or do I really need to tiptoe through this comment? Okay, so he made that comment, which struck me as weird. Now, come to find out, it also struck the person doing the interview as weird, because Tom Curran talked about it on NBC Sports Boston.
I don't know what that... That is a very... That word invest is carrying a lot. And does he mean invest as we would conventionally think? He wasn't allowed to invest money? Well, then explain the Calvin Ridley pursuit. Explain the pursuit or the re-signing to big money contracts, a number of what we would call basically middling free agents.
Interest
at the
Patriots. Brandon Ayuk as well.
So is that investing that he wasn't able to do there? Were they not able to invest time?
So no one seems to know what the hell he was talking about.
Well, he's also saying, how do you explain Ridley and Ayuk? That didn't happen.
No, but they apparently were willing to invest $90 million.
Sure, but the Red Sox were willing to go so far with Soto, and they didn't get it, and we don't give them that kind of grace, I don't think, and you shouldn't do it with the Patriots either.
Okay, that's one read.
I wouldn't. I mean, you can be in on it. You can be talking about it and putting offers out there, but if you know you're getting beat and you don't go the extra mile, then I don't give you credit for that.
Okay, that's one reading
personally,
of it.
Yes, there's.
I had a question. I was thinking of this last night. Now
he raised his hand. I
love it.
Now we've heard Robert.
Yes,
Kraft,
young Stiz.
We've heard Robert Kraft say on multiple occasions he does not limit his coaches on spending, mm-hmm. right? And he said, in fact, just last week, you can go over the cap. All I ask is that we get even within 3 years. Is it possible, and I'm genuinely asking, that maybe a head coach would have like a bonus structure in his contract to where if you don't spend X amount of dollars or you save us X amount of dollars, you get a bonus? Or is that completely stupid?
That's not completely stupid because Belichick got paid and then he paid his assistants, right? Like, wasn't that part of it?
Well, part of that story was like he got a pool of money.
Yeah.
And if you take $25 million for you, well, you only have $10 million left for everyone else or whatever.
Or you have $25 million, you keep what you want, but you got to pay your own guys out of that.
I'm not sure what you're saying works and or is even legal.
Like managers get bonuses for saving their company money.
Yeah, I'm sure but not in a world, illegal. A collectively bargained world of free agency and salary cap and some of those things. I think... You're going into a gray area. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Well, in the CBA, there's incentives in all sorts of players' contracts.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just don't get on how one hand is saying, well, I don't limit my guys. And then you have Vrabel saying, well, Elliott, his hands were tied a little.
And that's where the question. Also, Robert is being a little disingenuous there, I guess. That's how the salary cap works. Like the salary cap is an accounting measure. If you spend more here, well, it's going to show up over here, right? Like you kind of put the puzzle together in different ways. So that's where the 2021, it was like, okay, how long are we going to live off 2021 for? We're back in line. We averaged it out. In fact, last year you were well below the cap. You still had plenty of money. So why are you not spending then? Is it to prepare for this year? Maybe. I don't know. But I just find it interesting. Elliott Wolf, and there's also the question that one of the texters brought up that we screwed the pooch on, quite honestly, with Schefter. Uh-huh. When Schefter said, there's been no change for Elliott Wolf. No change.
Right.
Well, Mike Vrabel just said Elliott Wolf wasn't allowed to spend money last year, but now Mike Vrabel is the guy who's going to decide who and what they spend money on.
Right.
Because Mike Vrabel's, what'd he say? The guy? Vrabes is the dude or the guy.
The man.
The man. So it sounds like Elliott Wolf has lost control of a roster that he had last year, right?
Yeah, it does sound like that. Okay. We'll get to the phones here in just a minute. There's one quick thing I wanted to point out, which is kind of weird.
Uh-oh.
We were just talking about the Cranberries, right? Talking about the lead singer, whose name is Dolores O'Riordan. She died 7 years ago today.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
Wow.
I brought her up out of nowhere. Like, we were talking about songs like with different messages and meanings and stuff like that were very, very popular. And Zombie was a huge, it's a protest song, so it's different from Pumped Up Kicks, but it just popped into my head. She died 7 years ago today.
And her firstborn child was named Christian. Her second was Andy.
That'd be weird. That'd be weird. Those names aren't Irish.
Her father's name was Lincoln and her sister's name was Kennedy.
Was Kennedy, yeah, it's amazing. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got Behind the Glass. We'll do a What If Wednesday coming your way in about 10 minutes. First, let's go to Rob. He is in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Rob.
How's it going, guys?
What's up?
So, I'm just I'm a New England sports fan. Been a sports fan my whole life. And I'm just sitting here watching ESPN. They're talking about the coaching carousel.
Mm-hmm.
And about guys like Belichick, okay, six-time Super Bowl winner, Mike Tomlin, and there's no room for these guys anymore. I'm just a little miffed by this.
Well, Mike Tomlin's on coaching a team in the NFL right now, so there's definitely room for him. Belichick, I don't know. Thanks for the call, Rob. I appreciate it. If Belichick was not at UNC, and I know he could still leave there, but let's just say he didn't go to UNC. He was waiting out the cycle, and he's a free agent right now and can be signed by any of these teams with coaching vacancies. Would he get hired?
Probably. Because I'm starting to feel like there's not enough good coaches to fill these vacancies. That's why I think you're going to start to see Marcus Freeman or some of these college names floated a little more strongly, or even your guy Dion, or more creative candidates. Because if Arthur Smith is becoming like a hot candidate,
right?
I'm not sure you have great candidates. And I do think Belichick.
Is Bill a great candidate? I mean,
no,
you know,
he's not.
He's not, so.
He's not, but that's my point.
Right.
He would probably be atop the list of not great candidates, but he's Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he'd definitely get interviews this time
around. Yes.
Like, he didn't even get interviews last year. So I think he'd get interviews. I don't know if he'd get hired.
But, yeah, Mike Tomlin's still in the league. There were rumblings that he could get fired or traded. He shot those down immediately.
And Steelers fans are annoyed because he keeps, you know, it's one and done. He's like the Bruins, right? I mean, they get one and done in the playoffs all these years. They have good regular seasons, but they haven't been able to get any better. And I don't think that's Mike Tomlin's fault at all, personally. But I can see why fans get frustrated. And, you know, you get frustrated, you look for a change.
And Bill's 73.
Right.
And was terrible at the end of his tenure here.
Mm-hmm.
So I would also argue that's the way the world works. You age out, no matter your greatness. Like, the NBA ratings are down, and Michael Jordan's running a sneaker company. Is there no room for Michael Jordan in the NBA? Well, he's 107.
He is.
Just because he's a GOAT doesn't mean he can help you now or should compete for anything now, and I think it's the same with Belichick.
Yeah. Pete is in the car. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Pete. What's up?
So I have a take on this invest comment, and I look at it this way, which is, free agency comes before the draft. They didn't know who they were going to have at quarterback. And what they could possibly have told Wolf was, hey, you can spend some, but you can't spend it all. Because if this doesn't work for us, this quarterback, we're going to have to blow it up and do it again or go buy a quarterback like the guy in Tampa Bay,
Baker Mayfield,
you know, off the free agency market. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, that to me is plausible. Like, don't go all in before we know if it's time to go all in buying free agents yet. That was my thought.
Fair enough, Pete. I kind of get what you're saying there, and I think there are teams that look at it that way. Who was it that said we're not in the right cycle to be making additions?
Gerard.
Was that Mayo?
For...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
For Amari Cooper?
Yeah, it was something
when
like
he
that.
Went to Buffalo?
They said, how come you weren't in on Cooper while we're not in that cycle of our team? I think that's a real thing. I agree that it is. But that's no excuse not to get your rookie quarterback a wide receiver.
No.
I mean, come on. Like,
no.
You got to do something. Like,
and I would argue the concern I'd have here, this should be piquing the ears of those of you that are worried that Jonathan, Robert, Robin, whoever, are injecting themselves in football. Because I was under the belief that Elliot Wolf was running the roster last year. So who was putting the limitations on him?
Good point,
It's Robert or Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Or, I mean, I guess if you want to throw Robin, whatever. There's very few people, but this means, remember when I was asking all the meddling questions? Are they meddling owners? Or
Robin Glazier.
Bill, right? Like, yeah. Say he sees it, but only a couple. I don't think Gerard Mayo was putting limitations on the investment that
he Elliott definitely Wolf wasn't. Okay. I mean, why would he? Yeah.
So in all likelihood, your name had to end in Kraft if you were limiting the investment that Elliott Wolf could make, right?
Well, it was not about finance. I don't know if you knew that.
I don't know. Well, Curran says it could be time. It could be whatever. It could be different things.
But it was also money. I mean, right, let's be honest here. They had the most cap space of any team in the league.
Correct.
For most of the year, too. You know, it wasn't just in the offseason. It was for most of the regular season. I think the Niners passed them somehow, which I don't know how they did that. They have a lot of money tied up. But the Patriots didn't spend and then were there with all that cap space. You can't take it with you, you know? And they were just there.
But I actually think the callers' theory could be okay if Elliott Wolf decided that. Mm. If Elliott Wolf said, you know what? I don't know if this quarterback is ready to win, so do I really need $90 million on Calvin Ridley? I'm actually okay with that if Elliott Wolf decides that. If Robert Kraft says, why don't you not spend as much money? Because we got some uncertainty.
I think if Elliott Wolf decides that, it's also bad.
But
I don't like him deciding that either.
You're limiting the guy you've given the job to build your roster.
Right.
That's problematic.
Yeah, no,
that's really problematic. He can screw the job up, have bad philosophies, theories.
Because you can fire him.
Right.
Right, yeah.
But if you're limiting his ability to do his job, and doesn't that sound what Vrabel's saying?
Kind of, yeah.
Somebody limited Elliott Wolf's ability to build a roster. That's not good.
No, it's not. Tim in Hanover, go ahead.
All right, guys. Here's the deal. Vrabel and Tomlin both were like a few pieces away from maybe making a Super Bowl. We knew they were dead this year. They didn't have the parts and pieces, and that's the way they've been. I think Vrabel got his shot and said, I want three things on the table when he walked in there. My coaching career, if I take this job, is in jeopardy. If you don't let me kill the draft, buy the people that I got to get to put in place to have this a winning team, and then that way I can get forward and make it to the Super Bowl maybe within 2 or 3 years. I have to have all the parts and pieces. I will get the best offensive coordinator I can and take it from there, man.
Yeah, Tim, listen, I know that when he came in, he was talking about the things that he wanted, but it was about running the ball and playing defense and the trenches and sort of, you know, his philosophy on football. I don't know. I mean, yeah, he's obviously a big personality. He's obviously very assertive. He's going to tell them exactly what he wants when he wants it. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the guys that are in the building right now are going to respond to that. You know, you start treating them like waiters, then, you know, it can be a divide. I don't know how great that is for the culture. We'll see. I also don't know how comfortable these guys are in the roles that they have right now either. That's another part of this.
I also wonder, because everyone has said now specifically Ryan Cowden works below Elliott Wolf.
Right.
But is Elliott just training Ryan Cowden to do his job and
maybe
then get escorted out?
It could certainly be the case, yeah.
You know, the systems, because Elliott supposedly kind of reconfigured the scouting system, did some things, and maybe the Crafts want to utilize some of that moving forward. So you need him to train Ryan Cowden. And then once he's fully trained, is Elliott Wolf going to be escorted out of town?
Yeah, could be. Russ and Warwick, you get the last word here. Go ahead, Russ.
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you. I haven't called in a while. But anyway, I was just curious. Everybody seems to be talking about this comment of investing or not having the time to or not having the investment. It's not necessarily could mean that he didn't have the time to invest money. What about the time to invest his opinion? Maybe he was overruled on a lot of stuff that he decided he wanted to do, but was told, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know who was overruling him, though. Like, who was overruling Elliott Wolf? It seems like Wolf was in charge.
Robert and Jonathan.
Right, but, I don't think they were getting in the weeds on who to draft, and right, maybe for May, but, I don't think after that, they were telling him, draft this guy, draft that guy. I think Wolf was in charge of all those things. I think he targeted the free agents. Maybe they gave him financial limitations, but do you think they were in the weeds like that? I mean, maybe for Ridley, because he was a big, premier guy, but Gibson and Hooper and, Brissett and everybody. I don't think they had anything to do with that.
My flip side of this is, sounds like Elliott Wolf did a really good job convincing Mike Vrabel there were reasons that the roster was so crappy.
Mm.
He made excuses.
Yeah.
Whatever they were, maybe they were, excuses, reasons, whatever. But he convinced Mike Vrabel that there was a lot of stuff going, no, Chukwuma Okorafor, wait till you hear the story on him. You think I just signed him and assumed he could play left tackle? I wouldn't do that. Sounds like he sold him a pretty good bill of goods.
Yeah, it does sound that way. Here's Dan Ball to get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, it's a What If Wednesday here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Celtics hit the road tonight to play the Toronto Raptors. Tip-off is at 7:30. Boston is 28-11 on the season, while Toronto is 9-31. WEEI's Justin Turpin reported that the Celtics currently have a clean injury report for the game tonight. In coaching news, longtime NFL special teams coach Mike Prefer is expected to finalize a deal to become the new special teams coach at North Carolina. He's worked in the NFL since 2002 and has been a special teams coach from 2006 through 2022. And Urban Meyer will join Nick Saban in the 2025 College Football Hall of Fame class, and Michael Vick and Michael Strahan are among the former players who will be inducted. The National Football Foundation announced Saban's selection last week and the rest of the 18-player four-coach class earlier today. The Bruins were back in the win column last night as they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning at TD Garden 6-2. David Pastrnak and Pavel Zacha each had a goal and two assists. Jeremy Swayman made a season-high 43 saves in the win. Boston is off until Saturday afternoon when they visit the Ottawa Senators. And finally, the Red Sox have acquired 27-year-old catcher Blake Sable from the San Francisco Giants for international bonus pool money. Chase Shugart was DFA'd to create more roster space. Sable hit .313 in 11 games with San Fran last season. He's played 121 regular season games in the MLB overall. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Afternoons with Arcan and Hart on a What If Wednesday coming up next.